just start with that one. How about that? Hymn number 103 in your hymn books is what we're starting with. Catch up in a few minutes, that's why the song's fast. Anyone got a favourite hymn that they'd like for us to sing?
305.
Heart beats while I see what it is. There's multiple ones, and it says American tune.
The British tune is not in there. I'm not sure. Do you know it, Christy?
I think we did sing it before.
Are you game?
Go for it. Norman, you better sing up loud. Can we turn this one off?
That's okay, Christy. I think this one goes a bit interesting for me. So.
You can stand for that choice. Any other one, Norman? That sounds good to me.
Okay, we'll just sing it without the music.
Okay.
If you want to lead this one.
Sure.
Sounds good to me. All right. I'm going to wing this. Take my life and let it be. I'm going to kick off.
And the best of it all is I don't even have my reading glasses on, so everybody else just join in and hope I get this right. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift. Come on up, brother. You come on up.
Who's got towels with me? It's a mess.
Our reading this evening is from Romans chapter 14. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judge another man's servant? To his own master, he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He which regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For so this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and I am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thy faith, have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of the faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Norman. And thank you to Steve for picking those readings, or that reading. Amen. We enjoyed chapter 53 this morning from Isaiah. Right, just one or two announcements. First of all, make sure you've got one of those little blue prayer lists. If you're saved, and you really ought to call out the names of all the people on that prayer list. It doesn't matter whether you have to read it or whether you can memorize it, but even as you pray, God doesn't mind you praying with your eyes open. Because let's be honest, if we were to pray like the Bible says, always praying, and we were praying with our eyes closed, there's a lot of us would have a lot of concussions, broken noses and black eyes. It doesn't work to walk around with your eyes closed. So please do, please, just once in the week, just call out all of those names in prayer. I want to just let everybody know that Ling had a successful attendance at her exam down in Dublin. We pray that it got the desired result. She is very studious, and if that's any indication, I am sure she did very, very well. We had travelling mercies up and down, and a good night's rest in between. So please do pray about all of that. I'd like to remind you to pray for Christy. He's got a lot on his plate, and he still has been putting out on a service every Sunday evening and leading the service, even as he gives me a little bit of a break from and a chance to recuperate. And it's a year now since I went into hospital, so that's a year that Christy has been doing one service every Sunday night, and I think for the first maybe couple of months of this year he was doing all the services. So he's had a busy year, and I do appreciate it. So please do pray for Christy. Christy has job interviews coming up Thursday and possibly Friday down in Belfast, isn't it? So please do pray for him. So that's Ling's exam results, Christy's job interview, and Taylor Roth will be travelling over to be with us in about a fortnight's time. So please do pray for her as she travels. Don't forget Pat and Steve. I point there because I keep thinking of them sitting behind Norman. Steve found out that his problems with his legs are a skin condition called psoriasis. You may have heard about it before, but it's not an infection, and it's not fungal, and it's not bacterial. It's psoriasis. It's just a lot of irritation of the skin. It requires a different treatment, and we pray that once he gets it, it will clear up in a hurry. So please do remember that. There are a number of other prayer requests. Please do take time. We're not going to go through them all tonight. Please do take time just to read over them. There are a number of souls that have said goodbye to loved ones. We won't get to see them again until we're all standing in glory. Please do pray for Norman and Christine. Please do pray for the Cardwell family, the Gilbert family. Please do remember as well Kit Cairns. We've been praying for her for years, as long as pretty much as we've known Billy. Please do pray for her. And please do remember, it's a year and what? Is it 7 months since you? Pardon?
It's a backside.
7 months since John McMahon passed away. So please do pray for Carol and John and Stephen too. Amen. Have any of you folks got a private prayer request? Anything you want us all praying about but don't want to give any details on? No, good job. We've got some from this morning. Has anybody any thanks that they'd like to give? Yes, Mrs. Bradfield.
You already said it, but I'm thankful that you're still here a year later.
Yep. I'm every day I just open my eyes and I just say, thank you, Lord, for another day. And people talk about having hard times. I'm an extra time. Because maybe 50 years ago there wouldn't have been the antibiotics about to see me through my little adventure last year. So I'm an extra time, and I'm enjoying it. And I appreciate everybody's prayers. I really do. I really do. My shoulder seems to be picking up a bit, thanks to a little bit of work on it by Dr. Shang, and a little bit of advice on things to do. So just keep praying for that. It is working, and I am glad of it. Anything else? No. Okay. Well, let's close our eyes and bow our heads, and we'll have a wee word of prayer, and then we will call Brother Christie back. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time that we've set aside, not just to come into your presence, Lord, but to sing your songs, to read your word, and to have a wee bit of fellowship, Lord, to enjoy this time out. It's not all going to be long faces and chins scraping the ground when we get to heaven, and it certainly doesn't have to be like that here and now. I pray you, Father, to be one of our number. In fact, Lord, you know more than that. I claim your promise that wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, that you'd be there in the midst. So, Lord, we know that you're here, and I pray that for each one of us that's here, for every household that's represented, that you would take and use us and watch over us, and work in our hearts and minds, Lord, for calm, for peace, for strength, for victory, for wisdom, for understanding, for healing, Lord, for chastening, for straightening, whatever it is that we need, Lord, that you would be here to do business with us tonight. And Lord, I want to just mention Esther this evening. Christy was just after saying she had a bit of a tumble there this evening. I thank you, Lord, that it doesn't seem to be anything too badly wrong, maybe a bit of a scare and maybe a wee bit of a bruise, but I pray you, Lord, please, that you'd preserve her and watch over her and keep her. And the same for ourselves, Lord, that you would grant our private prayer requests according to your will, that you'd be with especially those that have lost loved ones in this at this Christmas time whenever family becomes more important, Lord, at least we would hope that. And family members are missed. Bless and keep and watch and comfort, I pray you. Please be with Will, with Frank, with Ling, with Pat and Steve, with Esther, with Leonard, with Maslam and Georgina, with, Lord, with even those that have slipped and slid. I pray you at this time that you would work in their hearts and minds with the whole family, with the Edgar family, with the Borlands, Lord, and with the Lemunions, and with Tony and Caitlin. Lord, with all those young ones that have been and gone, I pray you even now, Lord, that you would weigh heavy upon them. Speak to them, remind them and convict, Lord, even now. Please bless and keep us. Please inspire Christy. Please give him the words to speak. And I pray you, Lord, that you would just, well, I know it's not up to you, Father, but I pray that you would direct our attention to the front of the church for the rest of this evening. We love you and thank you. And we pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. God bless you.
Anyone want to choose a favourite? And I don't have to know because Mark can lead it. 102. That sounds familiar. Verse 4 first, but anyone else got one more? We can take one more. If not, we'll just move to the message. Going once, going twice?
51.
51. 51. Let's stand for this one where we'll never grow old.
I think we used to joke with Billy, it's too late for some people. Again, continuing for chapter number 12 is where we are tonight. Chapter 12, starting from verse 1, reading through verse 16. Acts 12. The topic for tonight is a prayer hungry church. Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James the brother of John with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by an angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. And she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful for the day, for the service we had this morning, Lord, for Lord, the liberty still to gather freely in this land, Lord, to worship you. We pray your blessing upon tonight's study, that you guide us, open understanding, Lord, help us tonight. Pray that you provide needs, Lord. Stoke up the fires in each belly here, Lord, and just renew on this, Lord, joy of salvation. If any have lost it, Father, just restore joy where the devil has stolen it, Lord, please. Strengthen your church, Lord. Help your people. We pray for everyone that couldn't be here, Lord, your hand upon them. Administration to their needs as well. Remember those that are grieving, Lord, those that are cast down and sick, Lord, we pray a touch for them as well. Save lost souls, Lord. Edify your children, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A prayer-hungry church, and we always start with just a previous look or a brief two-minute or maybe even less than two-minute just synopsis of what happened in the previous study. It was the Church of Ministry, where we looked at some of the works that went on in Antioch and how the Word of God had expanded upon out onto the borders or beyond the borders of Jerusalem and Israel. There were certain people, as they were scattered after the persecution of Stephen, had been preaching only to the Jews. But then there were certain men went as far as Phenis of Cyprus, and they preached also to the Gentiles. We have it then that people are getting saved. And here, this brings us to the point where Herod's the king in Israel. This is Herod Agrippa the First, the grandson, I believe, of Herod the Great, who ruled in the days of Jesus' birth, who had ordered all the children under the age of two to be killed. He was also the nephew of Herod Antipas, or Antipas, who had a role in the trial of Jesus and had John the Baptist murdered. So this is a king who came from a family who was bloodthirsty, who had no qualms of the death of innocent people in order for political gain and prosperity. So here we see this also coming to fruition in this time in the early church. But his tactic was not to just attack the church with a blanket, but to go for the leaders. For if he could kill the leaders, then what would the followers do? He would, even in the hope that it would disperse the rest of them. He had obviously knew and heard that the Jews didn't agree with, or all the Jews didn't agree with the Christian movement. Now there was Gentiles added into the mix. Of course, the Jews hated the Gentiles hated the Jews. Now Gentiles had become part of the Christian church. So of course those Jews that had already despised the Christian movement when it was just of the Jews would hate it even more so. This came before the king, and he got James, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Some writers say that he was beheaded, and that's what by killed him with the sword and tails. But the reaction to that was to please the Jews in verse number 3, which is very sad, of course, but the church has been no stranger to persecution. Even in the early days, Peter was arrested oftentimes. I think Paul the Apostle spent a quarter of his missionary duty in prison. So the church has never ever been a stranger to persecution, whether it be inspired politically or otherwise. It has spawned in the pits of hell, encouraged by the devil and his minions. It's always been that way, and it continues to be that way. And even today we can see the foundations being laid for another round of persecution for the Christian church. But he wanted to improve his approval ratings amongst the Jews. He was an Edomite. He wasn't a Jew himself. The Jews were outraged that he was a king in Israel at the time. But so, of course, he would do anything to get favor of them. After James is killed, he moves on for the next leader. And Peter has had a major hand in the church to this time. You know, he was arrested a couple of times, answered the Sanhedrin multiple times, and showed them for exactly what they were: sinners in need of a Savior. He had preached multiple messages, seen the lame, made whole again and walking. Remember the man that had the weak ankle bones and hadn't walked since birth, laid at the beautiful gate. Peter, the shadow of Peter, had healed him. And Peter's name is the next one that comes up after James. He arrests him, but it is the time of Passover. It's the 7 days after Passover, which is the time of unleavened bread. He doesn't kill Peter at this stage, but he stores him up with 16 soldiers and say, "You watch this guy." After the pilgrims, the Passover pilgrims empty from Jerusalem, we're going to bring him out and we're going to execute him. We have the full attention of the Jews. They thought the death of James had pleased them. Well, they're going to be pleased when we kill Peter. So he stores him up, and Peter's bound between two soldiers. And the very night before that they were about to bring Peter forth, something happens. The church is obviously in disarray. They knew this was a critical time in their history. Their leaders were under attack. The very founders of the church were suffering severe persecution. They had been away, in verse number 5, praying without ceasing. Peter doesn't know where they're praying at this stage, so it's interesting as we go on. He knows where to go to find those praying Christians. But sadly, it isn't always the case that when tragedy strikes, the Christians get to praying without ceasing. We just think it's a matter of saying one or two prayers, and that tragedy will turn to triumph, but it wasn't so in this case. They prayed without ceasing, and it was the church as a whole. It wasn't just one or two in the church. They got together, and they prayed fervently through the night. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So if you think that the prayers of one man availed much when they're effectual and fervent, what could the effectual, fervent prayer of a whole church do? There is just something about a church getting together and praying. We have seen it in our own church. When the church got together and prayed, we got a full page advertisement in the newspaper when we were only able to afford a quarter of a page, I think it was, or one little section. And they messed up and had to give us a full page for the price of a quarter. And God works many, many times in those instances when we're praying. We had seen the church exhaust every avenue we could to get the cage in the town closed. We went to the politicians, we went to the police, no one would hear the pleas and the cries. And then we got to praying, almost losing hope that there's no other physical avenue that we could turn to, and God closes it down without a trace or reason. Disappears off the face of this city. There's something special when a church gets together and prays. But it's so that they're praying. And something interesting in verse number 6. Peter's sleeping. This is the night before he's about to be executed. And he's sleeping. He's bound by two soldiers. He's bound by chains. There's people watching the gate. And here we have this man whose life was under severe threat. Just seen one of his peers and colleagues been slain by the sword not so long before. And here we have him sleeping. What peace Peter must have had, knowing that if he dies, it's gain for him. He will be with Christ the Savior forevermore. And there is a peace that the world doesn't understand. And this is that peace that facing very death, the Christian can say, "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." This is the very peace that Peter was able to sleep the night before he was due to be executed. But something not strange but miraculous goes on as he sleeps. The angel of the Lord comes to the prison and a light shines. The angel gives him a dig in the side, it says smote him in the side, and says, "Wake up. Get your stuff, get on you, let's go. Arise up quickly." Once the angel says that, the chains fall off. We move on. The angel says, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And he did exactly that. He says, "Get your garments about you and come after me." And they go on through the first court, through the second court, and they come to an iron gate. And the iron gate just opens of its own accord, the Bible says. Peter, obviously still a bit tired from the deep sleep he was in, enjoying what probably an expectation of seeing the streets of gold the next morning. I'd love to know what that dream was like, but he's still sleepy here because he's thinking to himself, is this a vision? Have I already been killed? Am I moving to the glory land? Because he had heard Jesus say about the angels coming to carry souls that had died into Abraham's bosom. He had been there. He had heard it. And he was now thinking that he was experiencing it firsthand. Verse number 9 says he thought he saw a vision. You get through the second ward. You come to the gate, and the gate opens of its own accord. You see, even that iron gate that was closed, lock, stock and barrel, I was about to say, but lock and key, chained down. That didn't want to get in the way of God's will. Even the gate flung open and knew that what God said should be free, that was in no place to bind up. The gate would not keep him bound. And even though that Peter was bound up, the church is always free to pray. Even though there was closed gates here, the gates of heaven are always open for God's children, and we can avail of that open gate through prayer. Let us be a prayer-hungry church. Mm-hmm. The early church was certainly prayer-hungry. Sadly, today, it's an uncommon occasion where we can look at a church and say, they're prayer-hungry. They're seeking God. They get together and they pray fervently. Yes, there are one or two probably in every church, but to look at a whole church and know that reputation is a prayer-hungry church is very uncommon in these days. He moves on and they get through one street, it says, and the angel departs. You're now free, Peter. You're on your own. You know what to do. And obviously the house that Peter goes toward is Mary's house. It must have had a reputation for being a house of prayer. Because he didn't know, he had been arrested for a number of days, kept in store over the 7 days of unleavened bread. He didn't know that the church had gathered in his house, so there must have been something. This must have been the prayer room of the church, the prayer closet, where they would get together in times of crisis and cry out to their God and their Father. But after the angel departs, he wakes up a bit more and he says, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. See, the Jews had seen one slayed already. And they thought it was a great old time, and it was entertaining seeing those old Christians being put to the sword. And here they thought, this is storing up. You know, anticipation was building for what was about to happen. And they were expecting that Peter would be killed and that the church would be dispersed. He comes to the house where Mary's at, where many, it says, are gathered together to pray, in verse number 12. And he starts knocking the door of the gate. And he must have been saying something, because Rhoda, as she comes to the gate to answer, she hears his voice. And she knew the voice of Peter, and she doesn't even open it. She's that excited, because she knew what the prayers were being offered inside the house. And here they were answered before her very eyes. So she runs back and she tells the crowd, Peter's at the gate, would you believe it? And they start saying, you're mad, you're crazy. And that's a very worldly reaction when a Christian goes to people in the world and says, God, answer my prayer, wait and hear this, what happened? Or wait and hear, I was expecting this very thing and it arrived. Or I had a need and someone met it without me even telling them. They think that's just a coincidence. And she's firm. She says, no, I heard his voice. He's standing there. And they say, it must be his angel. Surely he's executed by this stage already. It's his angel. And they hear the knocking continuing. Open up, guys. I escaped from prison. Herod's probably on my tail. Let me in. And when they open the door, they're astonished. They're bewildered. They can't believe it. Yet, in my mind, I'm thinking, what faithless Christians were inside that house. They had been praying for days for Peter's release. And when they see it before their very eyes, they're surprised. Surprised that God could actually answer the prayer that they had been requesting of him. Surprised that prayer brings the fruition of the power from heaven. God had answered many prayers and worked with them many times at this point, confirming their words with signs and wonders oftentimes. They spoke in tongues when the Holy Spirit fell upon them. They had seen the Holy Spirit fall upon the Gentiles. There have been many exciting conversions to this time. Saul of Tarsus converted into Paul the Apostle. We have Cornelius the Gentile, who was a God-fearer but not saved, joins the church after he meets Philip in the way. And then we have the wonderful ministry at Antioch. But here, after the persecution arises again, they so soon forget the power that falls from heaven when God's children pray. You see, when we're hungry, we go for food. But when we're hungry for God's power to come down, we need to go for prayer. It needs to be prayer that is the first thing we turn to and resort to. Much prayer, much power, little prayer, little prayer. When the persecution came on the early church, there was a pattern. The king or someone in higher authority hated them and persecuted them. Went about in all means that they could just to make their life difficult, to cause havoc amongst them was Saul's job. Albeit Saul done it out of a pure motive in that he thought he was serving his religion best by persecuting these Christians. Yet here we have this political leader doing it for his own gain, for his own approval. But once the church was persecuted, they added into the mix prayer, which resulted in God's power coming down and deliverance. That's exactly what we have. I don't know the reason why James was killed and Peter wasn't. I just know that James didn't count himself a loser for entering heaven in this situation. He was a winner. I would almost say that Peter got the short straw, you know, by not getting to his eternity. But clearly, God had other plans for Peter at this point. But how quick are we just to say prayers for the sake of it? And that's exactly what it sounds like happened here. The church was praying. They were praying for divine intervention. But when it came, they were surprised and astonished and shocked. So they were saying prayers just for the sake of saying prayers. Just because they knew that the other church members would be saying prayers as well. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Have faith the size of a mustard seed, and you shall be able to move mountains, is what Jesus said.
Amen.
He said, "Oh, ye of little faith," is what he called the disciples at the time, and how little our faith is today, and even in this day. It should have been an expectation prayer, a prayer of expectation. Just as the Jews were rubbing their hands and clapping and getting ready for the execution, they should have been clapping their hands and being ready for God to come through for them. They should have got a meal ready for Peter. They should have been that faithful and that hopeful that God would come through. They should have put the cooker on and started boiling the potatoes and the vegetables and set his plate out and said, "My God can."
Mm-hmm.
"My God can do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or even think." What amazing power that prayer produces. It isn't a specific power of the church, it's God's power that he bestows upon his children when we're faithful to go and request things of him. You know, he wants us to come, he hears us always, the door's always open. He gives grace that can be obtained through the mercy seat to help in time of need, the Bible says in Hebrews. He wants to hear from us, he cares about us, he knows the hairs, the number of the hairs upon our heads. Ever changing as they are. He cares for the sparrows and provides for them. Why would he not provide for his children? He said, "You're worth many sparrows." And he said, "If ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give good gifts unto them that love him?" God's good. God's faithful. And he is able to answer prayer. Doesn't matter how mad it seems to the world or to fellow Christians. Pray the prayer and expect the answer. I'm not saying that God will allow you to win the lottery. But I'm saying when there's a dire situation and we need God to come through, He will come through. You say, give me some examples. Didn't He shut the lion's mouths in the den for Daniel?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't He with Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego in the fire as a fourth man cast in there?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't He with lonely Noah as Noah set about to build the ark? Wasn't He with Moses as the children of Israel kept rebelling and crying out and saying, has God just brought us out here to slay us? Wasn't He with Joseph? There is a Joseph in the Bible, but that's not who I'm talking about. Wasn't He with Joseph in the pit when his brethren cast him there? Didn't He follow him into the prison when he was cast into prison? Didn't He follow him into servitude when he was a slave? And didn't He stand with him when he was second in command in Egypt? Didn't He guide and lead him to tell him there's a famine coming, you better store up food, your family's going to come and they're going to need you? They meant it for harm, but God meant it for good. And didn't He stand with Jesus in the garden when Jesus sweat great drops of blood when He looked into that cup for us and saw what sin was about to come upon Himself? Wasn't He with James here in death? Wasn't He with Stephen as Stephen was stoned to death as he preached the sermon and looked up and said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Forgive them, for they know not what they do, as they lift the stones and cast them and they gnash upon them with their teeth. And wasn't He with Peter here in the prison? And this isn't the first time we'll see a prison break in the book of Acts and through the life of Paul as well as we look on. But God's good and God's powerful. He wants to hear the cries of His children. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We don't fight against flesh and blood. Our fight's spiritual. It's against the rulers of darkness in this world. It's against spiritual wickedness. It's against the devil and his angels. And the only thing we have over the world is the ability to directly contact God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit and call upon the power that He has. We can't defeat the enemy on our own. Neither does God expect us to fight him on our own. He's with us whithersoever where we go. And He told us not to be afraid. Thank God for the privilege of prayer. I pray that your hunger tonight would be to get back to prayer and not be entertainment hungry, not be fortune hungry or fame hungry, but let us be prayer hungry.
Mm-hmm.
For when we're hungry for prayer, then God's power is bestowed upon us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Let us be a prayer hungry church tonight. Anyone got a closing hymn?
No one else.
361. Stand as we sing, then you think to pray.
Prayer will
forget to pray. Amen. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Let us ask and let us ask often. There was a parable where there was a little old lady and Jesus told her, or told the people that were listening, you know, if she keeps asking, the judge will do it because she wearies him. So keep asking and keep asking. And keep asking until the answer comes. The answer will come if we are faithful to ask and expect the answer. Mark closes in prayer.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time in your presence. Thank you for the message you give Christy for us this evening. Just pray, Lord, for each of the households that are represented here. Father, that you would take and remind us of the message, of the words, of the songs, or the Bible readings throughout the week. You would use them to fence our ways and to protect our paths. Thank you for loving us and for your long suffering. Pray also, Lord, for the church's missions outreach, and Lord, for all of your children that reach out to the lost wherever they might be. Please save souls, Lord, in these last of the last days. Bless and keep us, Lord. Edify us and protect us. Help us to grow. Even, Lord, save lost souls. Thank you again for the message you give Christy. And we pray, Lord, you would walk with him and inspire him and bring all the things to his remembrance that he needs for the up-and-coming week for his interviews at the end of it. We love you and praise you, Father. Thank you again. Please see each one of us safely home, Lord.